Okay, we're going to finish off the presentations today with two speakers, two undergraduate students in the School of Environment who will present the results of their honors research. The first one, who is up here now, is Kyle Martins, who is completing a Bachelor of Science degree in Biodiversity and Conservation with a minor concentration in English Drama and Literature, and theater, so he's a Renaissance man. He's supervised by Professor Marty Lekowitz in the Department of Biology. And he'll be speaking about a biodiversity study he conducted at the Mont Saint-Hilaire Biosphere Reserve. You've heard Andy Gonzalez speak about that. And his study deals with bumblebee biodiversity.
Thanks very much, Professor Ricciardi. So today I'll be presenting to you my honors work titled Bumblebee Biodiversity Survey of Mont Saint-Hilaire. Now, when my supervisor, Professor Lekowitz, first approached me and asked me to conduct a bumblebee biodiversity survey, I was sort of taken aback. I thought, well, isn't there just one bumblebee? Well, it turns out that bumblebee is actually a genus of insect, of which there are many species. In fact, there are 14 expected bumblebee species for southern Quebec. It's also parasitized by something that's altogether related to the bumblebee called the cuckoo bumblebee. And there are 4 expected species of cuckoo bumblebee for southern Quebec. Now, with all this alarm that's being raised as to the possibility of a global pollinator crisis, the real crisis in North America is that we really don't know what's happening with our pollinators. There's a lack of baseline data. For instance, at Mont Saint-Hilaire, there was no data whatsoever as to what bumblebees were found there. Historical records are far and few in between, and current biomonitoring systems, well, aren't really developed across the continent. In terms of what we do know, we've recognized that what seems to be driving pollinator declines, in bumblebees especially, is habitat degradation, especially the loss of nest sites and floral resources. Moreover, when you're considering local bumblebee biodiversity at any given point in space, it's important to consider what's happening in the surrounding landscape. So how much of the landscape is agriculture? How much of it is urban agglomeration, how much of it is forest? And this is because bumblebees have such large foraging ranges, so they're affected by what's happening around them. So the purpose of my research was to begin to respond to these sorts of needs. First, by conducting a bumblebee biodiversity survey of Mont Saint-Hilaire. Second, to explore how regional land use factors influence local bumblebee species richness in a variety of habitat types. Now, the emphasis here is really on explore. Because there was no baseline data for Mont Saint-Hilaire, my strategy was to sample from a variety of different habitat types in order to discern some sort of overarching pattern in terms of influences that are affecting local bumblebee species richness. And I was able to do this with a form of analysis called ordination analysis, which I'll get to later on. Finally, the lessons and the questions that are raised through my research will inform a master's level graduate research project on bumblebee biodiversity, landscape connectivity, and ecosystem services, which I'll be conducting for the next 2 years with Professor Andy Gonzalez and also Professor Martin Lekowitz. So to begin, first is the biodiversity survey itself. Here you see an aerial photograph of Mont Saint-Hilaire. I created a buffer of 500 meters, the circles, just to show you where my sites are. They surround the mountain in a variety of habitat types in both rural and urban settings. They are separated by about 600 to 650 meters to correspond to the average foraging distance of bumblebees. It was bike-powered research, so I accessed all of my sites by bicycle. I sampled from a variety of habitat types, including abandoned apple orchards, functional apple orchards, old field habitat, pepinière, and residential garden. In terms of how I collected the bumblebees themselves, I used a standardized sweep netting method. So I traipsed through fields of flowers with a butterfly net. But it was a little bit more standardized than that. But my sites were circular in dimension with a radius of 25 meters. I collected my bumblebees in the month of August and would control for weather parameters. So I would only sample on sunny, warm, and calm days, which were conducive to bumblebee sampling. In terms of the data that I walked away with from each site, I got a count of what bumblebee species were there, what flowers they landed on, what caste they belonged to, so were they queens, were they workers, were they males, I also conducted two vegetation surveys, namely percent cover and presence absence. Now, how did I identify my bumblebees? Well, I created a personalized identification key for Southern Quebec, which was informed by reputable sources. The bumblebees were identified both on the field and collected for verification on the lab. It's usually pretty easy to identify bumblebees. You just need to look at the color pattern on their head, their thorax, and their abdomen. But some of them require that you look at finer morphological features. I deem these to be the tricky bees, and I cross-referenced them with bumblebee specimens at the Lyman Museum, which is located at McDonald campus. In all, I ended up finding 10 species of bombus, or bumblebee, which really surprised me. I wasn't expecting to find so many. Some of them are really common, such as bombus impatiens, i.e. the common eastern bumblebee. Others are exceedingly rare. Bombus fervidus, for instance, at the bottom of my list, I only saw 3 individuals of throughout my entire trek at the mountain, and I must have seen and identified over 1,000 bumblebees. Out of the 4 expected species of cuckoo bumblebee, I found one, namely Cythyrus citrinus. Phase 2 of the research involved a regional classification of land use types. So how does the surrounding landscape affect what I'm finding at the local level in terms of species richest numbers? So I began first with an aerial photograph of Mont Saint-Hilaire, as you see in here, taken in 2007. Then in order to find out what's in the surrounding landscape, I superimposed data that I got from the government, which had 9 landscape categories outlined from 1994. So everything you see here is classed in purple is urban agglomeration. Everything in green is forest. Everything in blue is water. But this data was really outdated. So I had to update the data, and I added 12 landscape categories, which I thought were relevant to bumblebee ecology. These included abandoned apple orchards, dirt roads, small fruit farms, vineyards, early, mid, and late succession type habitat. By late succession, I mean places like wildlands. Finally, I created 250-meter, 500, and 750-meter buffers centered at each of my 15 sites so that I was able to discern in each of these buffers what's the proportion of forest, what's the proportion of mine, what's the proportion of late succession, mid succession, and so forth, in order that I could correlate these proportions at the regional level to my local bumblebee species richness. Does that make sense? In order to make these correlations, I used a form of analysis called ordination analysis. I went through a few different techniques, but the one I want to draw your attention to today is called canonical correspondence analysis. Now, this graph is a little bit overwhelming to interpret. What you see in the triangles are my sites, and what you see as signified by crosses are my bumblebees. But the important thing to bear in mind is that along axis 1, it's separating my rich sites away from my poor sites in terms of species richness, like so. So the more you move this way, the richer the sites get. It's finding a positive correlation between 3 landscape categories and species richness. So late succession habitat, orchards, and urban agglomeration all seem to be positively correlated with species richness. However, pépinière, which is flower nursery in French, it's going the other way. It seems to be negatively correlated with species richness, which is a bit of a surprising result considering, well, where they grow flowers, you'd expect there to be lots of different bumblebee species. In order to account for some of these patterns that I was observing, I conducted a literature review. Now, to begin with the positive influence of orchards, late succession, and urban agglomeration on species richness, bumblebees, it turns out that suburban gardens enable bee diversity. They provide nest sites, which are important, nectar and pollen resources in the form of residential gardens, community gardens, and parks. This has especially been exemplified in a case, a suburb right outside of New York. Moreover, the orchards bordering the forest provide a continuous source of nectar and pollen throughout the summer season. So you begin early on in the spring with apple blossoms, and then you carry on with blackberry blossoms, then raspberry blossoms, then black raspberry blossoms, then Virginia strawberry blossoms, and then that rich assemblage of understory herbs, which provides this rich and constant supply of nectar resources, depending on the management strategy of the orchardist, throughout the entire season, which is important in terms of maintaining these high species richest numbers. These are in turn complemented on the western side of the mountain by late successional habitat, which have important things like dogwood and amelanchier. Now, further surprising, or a bit of a surprising result for the pépinière, it turns out that it's less of a factor that there are flowers being made available there, but more so that it's in an agricultural context. The European precedent, where a lot of research on bumblebees have been developed, indicate that rural settings do not always provide continuous nectar resources throughout the summer season, as I just illustrated with the orchard, the apple orchard. The pépinière that I went to was surrounded by a bumblebee desert, of wheat and corn and other sorts of grasses which don't provide nectar resources. Moreover, if you're digging up the soil through tillage, there's a loss of nest sites because bumblebees, they don't have their nests up in the air like a honeybee. It's actually underneath the ground in an underground hive. And finally, in terms of the effect of pesticides, not a lot of research has been done on bumblebees, but the one report that I found done on the commercially raised common eastern bumblebee indicates that there's a similar effect as with honeybees, which isn't that great. Finally, in terms of evidence provided in North America, similar reports have been found for Iowa, for California, and other research studies that I've found. So in conclusion, I found 10 species of bumblebee and one species of cuckoo bumblebee from Saint-Hilaire. There is a significant landscape level effect at the 500 meter level on local bumblebee species richness. There is a positive effect of this combination of urban, orchard, and late succession type habitats on species richness, and a negative effect of a plant nursery in an agricultural context. And finally, these results will inform my sampling strategy for my master's thesis come this summer and next. So without further ado, thank you very much for your attention, and if there are any questions, by all means.
Do you have any questions for Kyle? Could Stefan come up here so that we can load while the... Perfect.
Will your research provide guidelines for landscape, in suburban areas? I mean, we don't have pesticides in Quebec anymore. So will you... it seems to me like what you're doing could provide some guidelines on how, to replace mowed lawn with something that could support bee populations.
Yeah, so exactly. The purpose of my master's research is to look at the effects of the ecosystem services that bumblebees are yielding to apple orchards and alfalfa fields. So we're trying to make a connection between, okay, bumblebees are important for these different type of rural practices. Bumblebees themselves are dependent on forest edges in order to, where they put their nests. They depend largely on rodent nests, abandoned rodent nests, in order to create their hives. So in making that connection between bumblebees are good for the rural, and then bumblebees depend on the forest, it creates incentive in order to maintain these sort of forest corridors throughout the Montérégie. So in terms of a management application, there's sort of large-scale regional implications of this research in order to provide incentive for forest corridors, which I think is something that Professor Andy Gonzalez has already touched on a bit. In terms of what you can do locally, of course, I'm trying to establish a sort of biomonitoring system across around Mont Saint-Hilaire. So really encouraging citizen science in order to identify these bumblebees, find out what's there, and encourage local participation in this project. And so we'll be able to track these changes in bumblebee species richness through time, while also providing a framework within which, okay, you can plant these flowers and these flowers, and these will attract your pollinators, and it'll be good. Does that answer your question? Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Kyle.